Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. Hey, the season may be over, but we're still coming at you 5 days a week.
Yes.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. So of the coaching names that have been associated with the Clippers through this sort of, to Charles, a free fall. To me, more of just a limbo. The name that keeps coming up again and again is Mike Brown. Yes. So we're going to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, the possibility of what that would look like, as well as, you know, what we think the accuracy of these reports are. And then in segment two, we're going to talk about what we're looking for from Pat Bev for next season. There's definitely been some talks of maybe packaging him in a trade.
Yeah, a lot of stuff was up in the air, it feels like, with Pat Bev. All of a sudden.
Definitely. Coming from last year, he was supposedly the only player with the playbook.
Which at the time felt cool, but we'll talk about that.
So there's some stuff we got to discuss about what we're looking for from Pat Bev next season. And then in shavings, a couple things kicking around. Looking at cap space, there's some possible landing spots for Trez. As well as, you know, just some other stuff going on. Maybe people on social media should be a little bit nicer to professional athletes whom they don't know.
Yes.
Anyways, all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We do got to give a shout out to Built Bar. This is a Built Bar sponsored pod.
That's true.
Check out builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. But right now, for this first segment, we've gotten two reports, both from Mark Stein, to have mentioned Mike Brown's name for the Clippers. The most recent one is that he made a strong impression, so he's evidently already has had his interview, which we can assume, and is an emerging candidate. That same tweet also said that Ty Lue is meeting with Houston early this week. How accurate, with what we know with the Clippers front office and how they kind of, you know, move in silence, yada, yada. Do we think these reports, like, how accurate are you putting these? Like, do we think Mike Brown is actually going to be the next coach for the Clippers? Like, where are you at with that?
From where I'm sitting right now, I don't think that Mike Brown is the next coach for the Clippers. Some of that might just be wishful thinking.
That is very fair. That's a very good way to put it.
Well, I do think there's, you know, there's definitely some sort of validity to these reports.
The strong impression, you know, obviously, one, I'm like, so he's talked to him, right? Like, that,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? Like, both the wordings of these are maybe a little vague for me, but then, you know, that makes sense if you're trying to get a word out of the Clippers front office. Like, you're going to get a vague-ass answer.
For sure.
So while I do think, you know, like, you know, both of these things could be true, I definitely wouldn't take that as, like, you know, and who knows, like, what the line of questioning was that led to this information. You know, I don't know if it was as general as, hey, who are you guys looking at as head coach? And they're like, well, Mike Brown is emerging.
Yeah, is he a strong candidate? Like, is it, like, a thing where it's like, or are we just kind of interviewing him to interview him type thing?
And was the line of questioning directly related to Mike Brown? Because you're getting a very different answer if you say, who are you guys thinking of for the next head coach? Or have you guys taken a look at Mike Brown? Like, those are two – you're definitely getting two very separate answers.
Good.
From sure. That line of questioning. So I do think there's validity to it. I don't want to say that. But, yeah, I
– He's not on the precipice of being hired.
I don't know that – I think he's a little bit more distant than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not even necessarily in relation to other, and I think that you know, we still don't know everyone that's coming for the job, you know, but they're definitely going to take their time with this search.
Yeah, and so now, like, so if Mike Brown were to be considered, you know, a legitimate head coach candidate, I kind of was on the ledge.
I think you're not alone in, you know, being a little bit concerned about that. I mean, his last head coaching spot, you know, was a while ago back in Cleveland. He's been with a really good organization. Here's the thing, right? The pedigree of which they were an assistant wasn't to another first-time head coach. You know
what
I mean?
Very good call. Definitely. Yeah.
Being in that system as an assistant, to me, looks a little bit different than being an assistant to, say, you know, your Popoviches or Phil Jackson's or, you know, obviously Spolstra's. I think that looks different. I could be incorrect on that.
To the Popovich count, he was an assistant coach from San Antonio from 2000 to 2003. So
I know, but that was 17 years ago.
No, I agree 100%. But, like, there's a small piece of the pedigree there. And it seems like since he's been with Golden State, he's kind of like there. I read this old J.A. Adonde article on Brown with the Warriors. And it was quoted as saying, Mike Brown found Kerr's coaching style to be a revelation. Kerr was so open, so receptive to his players that it made Brown think back to the way he ran things as a head coach of the Cavs and Lakers and realize that he had driven teams too hard. So there's this thing
and
of
this
like
rubs like me the wrong way.
So I was gonna say this is also good because I love the Steve Kerr DNA. You know, I love, you know, and Golden State, obviously, when it comes to an organization, is one of the best run organizations. But we just kind of went through a coach who maybe let players kind of do their own thing, right? Like we kind of have dealt with this already with Doc in terms of locker room stuff. So it could be kind of a gamble. But it's like a double-edged sword, you know? Like, I like that he's kind of been rejuvenated by being in Golden State. Like, that makes me think that maybe there's that innovation there. There's obviously going to be more motion offense from, you know, that perspective. But
you'd hope.
You would hope. But it's still just like, you know, what are we getting in terms of a locker room situation?
Yeah, agreed. I don't know, man. And
Don't play the kind of basketball the Warriors play in any way. They're fueled by a top 3-point guard in the league, and we just don't have that. Like,
yeah, we don't have the backcourt to really quite do that, nor do we have, like, quite the versatile pieces at the five, even though I do love Jamike at the five.
Like, theoretically, we do. So this is where I think it's that thing of, like, I'm not that super psyched if Mike Brown gets hired as a head coach. But coming from the Warriors, I think he's way more receptive to Jamichael in the five that Doc would ever have been that we, like, with evidence. You know what I mean?
Look, yeah. And, like, to his credit, I mean, this is a guy who will know how to make adjustments, who's been through enough playoff series.
And watch Kerr do it.
Finer tunings of that.
Yeah, I mean.
You definitely get the finer tunings of that.
It's definitely not exciting. Like, I don't want it to seem exciting, but it's not as horrible as I think myself personally kind of reacted to it initially.
So it's not horrible, but I do want to go back to one thing on, you know, looking at the way that Steve Kerr runs things at Golden State and how it's successful for them. I have to be honest, man. Part of that locker room sticking together and the success they have is fucking winning.
no, agreed 100%. We don't have.
which the Clippers have not done yet. So that's a completely different locker room dynamic than what we're going to have next year.
They have evidence the system works, and we have no evidence.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we have the opposite of evidence, which I don't know what is.
We have more questions.
Yeah, we have more questions. That's a
more crimes, possibly.
Hey, let's not get that far.
More crimes, less evidence.
But the more that I read about Mike Brown and kind of his experience in Golden State, just the less, you know, as kind of against it, I guess, as egregiously as I was, that level went down for me. Once I kind of read some more stuff, like, I don't want him to be the head coach. He's firmly at the bottom of my list of the people who they've interviewed so far. Like,
I just got to post this.
If you're
going
to hire Mike Brown, just hire Ty Lue.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so that's the question I want to pose is, how is Mike Brown an upgrade from Doc?
Yeah, for sure. It's like this weird question mark that also has past kind of evidence of being the kind of coach that we know they are. But now he's rejuvenated, so it's like this weird – I almost wish he had another head coach stint in between being with the Warriors and now, so we could see how this, you know, kind of Warriors revelation of him being a head coach has really played out, right?
Yeah. Will you be relieved or more scared if, you know, he just starts doing yoga in the locker room with the dudes?
I'm relieved. You're talking like to the Steve wrong person. I'm all on board for it. I love it.
What if he wears that tack, that the shirt that I think is super shitty that Steve Kerr wore during the playoffs last year that says, like, spiritual gangster?
I'd be bummed. I would ask him a question about it first presser. I'd say, hey, Mike, let's talk about your shirt for a sec. And then they would
cut. Can we talk about proper league attire?
Yeah, and then they would cut my media pass off my neck. Let us know what you think of Mike Brown as a possible coach. He's been mentioned a few times, so we thought we'd give him a bigger deep dive. Coming up, we're talking Pat Bev's next season. But first, hey, talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. It can be difficult. It's hard to do with not with a professional. You know, when you're talking to a professional, someone who knows what they're doing, it can be a lot easier. With Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet, dudes. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home or car, depending on your situation. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is very easy. Just go to roman.com/lockedonNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now you can tackle that thing right to the ground because there is Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lockedonNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/lockedonNBA. Getroman.com/lockedonNBA.
Okay, so we're back and we're going to take a little look about Patrick Beverley's sort of next season, basically our expectations and, you know, what we need to see as an improvement, as well as, you know, if there's any moves that could make sense.
Yeah, so one thing that's been interesting is ever since Doc and the Clippers parted ways, people are like way more down with thinking about trading Pat Bev. That was a thought that truly 2.5 weeks ago would not have crossed any Clippers fans' minds, right? Like the way that this team was kind of set up and built in terms of image, you would think it's crazy for Pat Bev to be traded, right?
Yes and no. I mean, like, once again, we still don't know the level of malcontent in the locker room.
I think it was Altrez personally, but that's just me.
I mean, you know, that's one way to look at it, but it's I just feel like it'd be easier to shut out if it was just one guy.
Fair. Very good point.
And especially during, you know, like it's when Trez wasn't there in those bubble games, it's not like these problems went away.
Also another good point. Yeah, that's very fair.
So, I mean, like, while I do think he was probably the largest voice of like discontent in the locker room, I don't think that he was the only one. And the thing is, like with Pat, I mean, he's posting his career worst in points per game, his two seasons with the Clippers.
Yeah.
And, you know, part
efficiency
of that
is crazy, though.
Yeah, for sure. But last year, you know, part of that was he took a backseat role. This year, he definitely had an injury. But it's not like his assists are taking a jump either. He's definitely had, you know, more assists in other seasons of his career. So, I mean, I understand that there is still some sort of, you know, ambiguity as to like what this role looks like. And it gets complicated when you're on like $3 for $40 million contract. Because, you know, as where a lot of our contracts for players that you would want are, you know, kind of in the 8 range, which is difficult to make a trade go for an upgrade, right?
Yeah, right. Like you're going to trade out Pat Bev for someone who can help the Clippers offense better. Like, A, why would that other team be willing to do that?
Well, I think that Pat Bev, I mean, being at that 12 to 13 a year range actually makes a trade much easier than, you know, like you can't trade Landry Shamet. You're just not going to get an upgrade unless you package him with somebody else. You really can't even trade Zoo because for $8 million a year, who are you getting that's an upgrade? Once again, you have to package something else. Yeah. Pat Bev, you know, that's much closer to a 1-for-1 or 1-for-2 swap. And then things do get even more interesting if you want to bundle in somebody with that. I think before I can like really dig into like what that would look like in a trade. I mean, I would, we keep saying this, but like, I need to know who the head coach is first. Cause like I have,
there's yeah, if no, we're losing like, a, like if we're doing like a 2-for-1 trade, cause also in the 2-for-1 scenario, we don't have Trez. So it's almost like we're losing 3 players to gain 1. We really got to know what system we're going to run, right?
Yes. So it's really difficult. It's really difficult to me to imagine a shakeup. I mean, that feels like such a significant shakeup. And while it's a cultural piece,
he's a good point guard. He's a good offensive threat as well as being Pat Bev on defense. Like it's a big, it's kind of a, it, I think it's more of a culture move in terms of like the impact than the actual on-court product.
Yes. But right? I do think that you need someone who is more of a true point.
Yes. That's the thing. Like, so if we somehow acquire a more true point, do we start them with Bev at the 2 or do we do like the Shame at the 2 and then have, you know, cause we've kind of talked about wanting Kawhi and PG to play the 3 and the 4 with whatever combination that makes sense. But to go back to your thing about like needing a more true point, I personally drank so much Kool-Aid when Doc talked about how he gave Pat Bev his playbook and he was the only point guard other than Rondo to get his playbook. I was so high on that Kool-Aid. I was like, this is awesome. Like Pat Bev's going to be sick. Like he knows everything. Now, maybe we just need a coach who gives maybe everybody the playbook, right? Like wouldn't that make things a little easier? I was high on the Doc fumes when he said that in the presser, but now I'm like, let's maybe give everyone a chance to look at what we're going to do.
Yeah. Well, and the other difficult thing is that, you know, he missed games. He had that stretch with the injury.
Yeah, which is tough.
He had a loss in the bubble and he didn't come in healthy. So like, who knows if him knowing the playbook, like with the limited amount of time he was able to really put in on the court in clutch situations, like if that we even got to see that to fruition. But I agree with you. I mean, like we need somebody who's going to be open and transparent, but at the same time have a clear enough vision to sort of get everybody to fall in line.
Yeah, and
if
I'll go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I guess I will. I was going to say, like play wise, I don't know how much difference I want to see from Pat. Right? Like he didn't. He never really, you know, like turned into a black hole on offense. He never really made truly the wrong decision. Like he played really well when he was healthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and with the way that the Clippers offense was at the time, it was going to take a couple more passes for something to get facilitated because we had the system of kind of just watch Kawhi and PG do their thing. So his assist numbers, I think, falter, you know, for the box score advocates because of the quote unquote system that we didn't really have, right? Like I think in a system, if Pat Bev buys in, he could be a top, he could be the point guard for a team that could absolutely make the finals. Would he be the best point guard on the floor? Obviously not, but he can be that guy who, if there's a system who can facilitate stuff, can do it, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And I like your point, too, of like the box score advocates versus, you know, ideally this is more than a one pass team.
Yeah, right. Like we want the hockey assists. Like I would love that to be tracked. But with the new coach, it just goes back to we need that new coach.
Like... Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like I think that Pat is definitely capable. I just he has been efficient. I mean, he's, you know, constantly a 38-39% from 3 kind of guy.
Yeah.
I think that he's improved getting to the rim a little bit better. He doesn't get to the line enough offensively, but you know, that's going to be difficult once again with like he's not
Kawhi
the focal
and PG
point of
or the dudes. It's like, yeah, like who's taking the shots at the rim? And his floater is insanely good. So like he doesn't even get fouled on that. Like it's going to be really interesting, and it goes back to kind of like how would Mike Brown use Pat Bev, right? Because he is the almost antithesis, not quite the antithesis, but he's such a different point guard than what Mike Brown has watched play in Golden State, right? Like,
I assume
numbers would go up, but it's an interesting challenge for whoever the next coach is to figure out how to efficiently use Pat Bev the best.
Definitely.
Let us know what you think about Pat Bev. I still think, you know, last year he played great when he was there. Still think he's earning the contract. That's something he kind of talked about in the Clippers media day before the start of this season, was like wanting to show people he earned that contract. And I think he did.
I think for the most part, he definitely did. You know, we're just hoping he's had more years with injury with the Clippers than he has not.
Yes.
But, you know, I hope that that's not a persistent thing moving forward. 100%. But, you know, once again, this option of whoever the head coach is, you know, this decision is going to weigh heavily on the front office as to what our priorities are in getting backup guards. So,
yes,
something to think about.
Definitely. Coming up, we're going to be talking Danny Green and Paul George kind of having a kindred spirits moment for sure on social media, as well as maybe some spots Trez might end up. But first, Will, talk to me about Built Bar. I'm hearing all these young people in cafes order Built Bar. What's this whole thing about?
All right. So Built Bar is probably the best tasting health bar out there.
Agreed. I've had it. I've had a bunch of them.
The improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. We didn't think it was possible. They got in the lab. They did it. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. Ooh. For those with allergies. The bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, so they're great for the keto diet. And right now, we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. One more time, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com.
Shout out to Built Bar. Welcome to Shavings.
Hey, thank you, Built Bar.
So Keith Smith, I'm going to be honest, the person who should be credited with this entire bubble idea.
The NBA Oracle?
The NBA Oracle, absolutely. Not the brand, the man. He broke down kind of like, there's only six teams that are going to have like, quote unquote, like kind of real cap space coming up. And in terms of Trez being a possible free agent, we thought we'd talk about these. The Atlanta Hawks will have $44 million. The Knicks will have $42 million. The Pistons will have $30 million. They're in a very weird place. Miami will have 21, but we got to assume a good portion of that is going to Dragic, and I'm pretty sure Jay Crowder. So that, I feel like we can kind of wipe that off the board. And then Charlotte.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Right. And then Charlotte with 19 and Phoenix with 18.9. Of all of these teams, I mean, you have the hometown thing with Charlotte, right? Being a possible Trez destination.
How do they have so little cap space? God, that's a terrible franchise.
It's insane.
But are they still paying Batum? Is he not off the books yet?
Dude, they might be. But from a lunacy perspective, sure, the Knicks. Why not? Add another basically glorified power forward.
Honestly, it makes sense for them.
But I actually think, call me crazy, I mean, I think in a Trae Young, Montrezl Harrell pick and roll for the Hawks, you get around the same efficiency as a Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell pick and roll.
Yeah, that's fair. Right? I mean,
I'm not saying it's a good idea, but the logic is kind of there.
They already have Collins, but you know what? You're right. I could see a fit possibly working out there. You know, he has worked out there in the summer before, not with the Hawks, but in Atlanta
with Lou.
Know.
Yeah.
I think that would make sense. I mean, Charlotte could easily acquire him. I think that's been pretty much the favorite destination that everybody kind of talks about again and again. And that, you know, it would depend on, you know, how much he values winning versus contract. Which I don't know, man. I gotta be honest. If I'm in Trez's position, you know, you did win the Sixth Man of the Year, which is awesome. I'd be trying to just grab up, especially in a weird cap year. I'd probably be trying to grab up as much money as I could.
So I think I might go the other way if I'm Trez. I don't think he has the power to do
contract?
This. A 1-1 or like a 2-year with the Clippers, I think, makes sense for him. But Trez is a guy who also has a lot bigger ambitions than just basketball, and I don't mean this as a knock at all. Like, I think if you're Trez, if you could get a 2-year deal with the Clippers, that gives you some pretty big flexibility when theoretically the cap goes up after the end of 2 seasons from now. You see what I'm saying? Like, after we hopefully get over all this COVID, people start being able to, like stadiums can get gate fees and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that
totally, yeah.
Maybe the cap shoots up again 2 seasons after this one. So you maybe take the 2-year deal with the Clippers, maybe get a ring before then. But also, you know, if the Knicks offer you, you know, some dumbass amount of money, like why, how could you argue with him going there?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I'm just not sure I want the Clippers to be competing with a team that has $20 million in cap space for signing with Trez, right? Like,
so once again,
we can use a mid-level exception or whatever.
Yeah. Once again, I mean, depending on the coach's kind of vibe, I think that might carry some weight with the front office, but I think the front office has a pretty firm number already that they're willing to extend Trez up to.
They're writing a certain number on the post-it note and sliding it face down across the table to Trez.
Yeah. And I mean, like, once again, you know, I don't know the exact inner workings of there, but I would guess that there's pretty little room for negotiation from what they're going to offer. And
that's a good call.
I think especially, you know, after 2 runs to the playoffs, I think, you know, the limitations are quite clear. And I don't think that Trez has necessarily hit his ceiling. I think he's damn close.
I think he is. I think he's 1 rebound away per game from his ceiling.
He is damn close. I mean, I do think that he can be a double-double average guy. But yeah, you're right. He's pretty close to what the peak of that is going to be and looks like. Just, you know, given his physical limitations and, like, I mean, he is still young. To his credit, he is still really young.
Yes.
He's what, 26? So, you know, you think that he has at least 4 more good years of play in him. Regular season play.
Yeah.
And then depending on how the roster is built around him,
but you're
really
also not
determine.
Building the roster around him. Like, I think Trez is a piece that, like, he might get.
I guess I mean how he fits into the overarching roster.
For sure. Definitely.
Rather.
Yeah.
That I misspoke. Yeah. Depending on how he fits into the overarching roster and how you can kind of cover for him and ideally limit, you know, your necessity of using him in matchups where, you know, he's not going to be able to be effective.
Which hopefully we have a coach who understands those matchups. Moving on real quick. Last part of shavings. Paul George. So the Lakers apparently, if my sources are right, I think they won. They won the championship. Hey, good on you guys. I mean, you
hosting
know,
up the Gary OB.
Hosting up the Gary OB. They played championship basketball all year. It sucks ass. But, hey, you know, this is where we're at. Danny Green and his wife were getting death threats after Danny Green missed a game-winning shot in Game 5 that didn't matter because the Clippers won in Game 6, you lunatic fans.
The Lakers won.
Sorry, yeah. In August,
I wish the Clippers won in
that
would have
been
6.
Great, yeah. In August, after Paul George said he'd felt depressed and anxious amid shooting struggles that made him a target on social media, Danny Green backed him up. He said, "Trust me, I know exactly what PG is going through." Shout out to Paul George. Shout out to Danny Green. Also, I look, the Locked On Clippers Twitter, it's a very fun time. We try and keep it fun. Social media has made fandom, I think, overall, on the whole, worse because people can kind of hide behind something and say truly horrific things to other human beings about a game of basketball. Like, it's just been tough.
Yeah.
Like, these people got to relax, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, I feel like there probably shouldn't be a direct line of contact.
There should never
I do
be.
Feel really bad for the, you know, the people.
That's his wife
I do
getting
feel
dragged
really bad
into
for
this.
People involved. Like,
she's a citizen, you know?
Yeah,
like,
no, totally. Yeah, it definitely, like, crosses a line. And I think that's unfortunate about sports fandom in general. So, hey, if you're one of the people out there, you know, maybe just tone it down a little. Just tone it down.
Tone it down a tiny bit. And look, if you're a Clippers fan and you're, you know, you're upset about what happened tonight, hey, we still got a head coaching vacancy. There's a whole hell of a lot more to focus on for the Clippers coming up. Anything else in shavings we want to get through?
No, I think that about covers it all. You know, as I said at the top of the episode, still a lot of stuff going on in, you know, Clippers news. So we look forward to bringing that to you 5 days a week. If you didn't know, you can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you like what you're hearing, go ahead, give us a rating, a review. It really helps us out. Yeah, just keep rocking with us. We, you know, we're excited to continue to bring you all the news.
Yes, and hopefully, you know, if we hire Mike Brown, hey, there's a bit of a silver lining. Tuesday's episode, we're going to do in Twitter Tuesday, so go ahead and send your questions to @LockedOnClips, @CharlesMockler, @WillUpdyke. Probably some coach rumors, if you know,
yes,
based on how things go. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.